Ernest, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit. Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise flagship fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
So why do business owners need to trademark their business before launching their business?
So I always ask people, will you build a house on land you don't own? I'm going to ask you guys, will you build a house on land you don't own?
I didn't.
No, right? Right? Because it makes sense, right? You're going to, before we build houses in America, right, we go and we do a title search on the land and make sure no one owns the lands, there's no liens on the land or anything like that. Because if we go and we just start building the house on land and we haven't cleared the land, the owner of the land can come tear that house down, mm-hmm. right? It's the same equivalent when it comes to building a business on a brand name and you don't own the name, right? And so being that I have been practicing this law over 10 years, I have seen where people have invested their 401k plans or took out money, you know, from their retirement to invest in product and marketing material only for it to be torn down by the rightful owner, right? So I tell people before we build brands and we build businesses, we wanna make sure we're clearing the name and we're actually owning that name. So everything that we're building on top of it is ours now.
Okay, so if we gotta get the name to make sure that we own it, what, where are we going to search for this? Like, are there specific sites? I feel like most people have no idea. They'll just type in trademark, whatever Google tells them, yeah. that's what we're using. It might not be the most accurate thing. So what sites are we going to ensure that if we use this name, we can own this name?
That's a great question. So what I would first start is with the USPTO.gov. Okay. And make sure it says .gov and not .com, right? Because there can be some you know, fraudulent sites and things like that. So start with the USPTO.gov. And you want to start broad because you want to see, does anybody own the name? But also, too, this is where it's important to hire an attorney, because under the law, it's not about what's the same, but what can be deemed confusingly similar. So if you go to USPTO.gov and you search Starbucks, right? Mm-hmm. Probably nothing will come up and you'll be like, oh, I'm good. I can go start a coffee company. Well, Starbucks is going to have a problem with that, because under the law, it's not about what's the same, but what can be deemed confusingly similar. So first I would start there, and then I would start with Google, and then possibly social media handles as well, and then just searching domains. But it's also important that we understand the nuances of the law, right? There's 45 different classes under trademark law, mm-hmm. and sometimes you can have brands that coexist in a marketplace. That's why we have Dove Chocolate, Dove Soap, MAC Makeup, Mac Computer, Delta Airline, Delta Faucet, Pandora Jewelry, Pandora Music. So your name might come up, but if it's a plumbing industry and you're in the beauty industry, you may can coexist, right? But where a lot of times people fall short, entrepreneurs, is they will say, okay, my name is available. I'ma file the name, and they just pick a class. And now they think they own that name in its entirety. You know, recently I seen an interview from Caesar from Black Ink, and he talked about how he actually was surprised when he had his dog fighting issue that he was let go from a show, the show that he thought he owned, because he created Black Ink and a Black Ink brand. Well, what Caesar didn't know was, and he filed his own trademarks too, and he thought he had his trademarks registered, but he filed them for tattooing services and I think for apparel. But when he did his deal with Viacom with the reality show, they went and filed the name for entertainment services. And so there's a big difference there. So it's important that you understand those nuances.
So inside that, we shouldn't do this on our own. So some people will say, I can figure this out by myself. Yeah. Get an attorney.
Get an attorney. I have about 5,000 clients, and a fourth of them either did it themselves first and then they had to come to us later, or they went to one of these internet sourcing companies, right? Thinking they're hiring someone who will guide them and lead them, but they're just really data transfer companies where they'll take your data and transfer it into the information system.
So why isn't an LLC or corporation enough to have full ownership in the business?
And so that is also a great question. And the reason is because as business owners, I always say an educated entrepreneur is a successful one. We have to understand the different legal vehicles and why they're here, right? And a lot of times people think, oh, if I got an LLC, I'm good. But the LLC might not even be the best entity type for you, right? But what we need to understand is what comes with that formation of an entity. Mm-hmm. So under the law, when we file our entities, whether it's an LLC or a corporation or a partnership, under the law, under our Secretary of State, we're forming it within our state. But that says that by us creating that company, it's going to give us a legal shield to protect us, the individual owner, from any legal liability that is to arise out of our business. We also may get some tax benefits from that as well, right? But nowhere in the law does it say it's going to give you exclusive ownership rights to that name, right? So you could form your business, let's say, in the state of Illinois. But if someone owns the trademark, and Illinois said you can have this business name, but if someone owns the trademark, let's say in the state of Florida, they can shut your business down in Illinois. So that's why it's important as business owners, we understand these different legal vehicles and how they work and how they're set up to protect us. The trademark is there to protect our name, our logos, our slogans, and not a lot of people know, but you can also trademark a sound as well, like You Got Mail.
Interesting. So you brought up the state thing. So now mm-hmm. it makes me wonder, obviously there's a difference between filing the trademark in the state. Can we file federally yes. as well? So like talk about the nuances in that.
That's a great question as well, because you can file your trademark on the state level, right? But when you file it federally, you get a lot more coverage. And I always say technology is moving faster than the law. So back in the day, you used to have to prove interstate commerce in order to get federal registration. So a lot of people use the state law system to file their trademarks when before the internet, right? Because now that we have the internet, as long as your business is a www.com or you're on social media and you're offering your services or your products to anyone across the world, basically, now you have interstate commerce. So with the internet, it kind of took that away. So you want to go for the broader coverage most as possible, because, you know, there is a case and it arised out of the state of Illinois, and it was in the 1950s, where there was this restaurant, a small mom and pop restaurant, and they sold burgers, shakes, and fries, right? And so then there was a Florida restaurant that adopted the same name, and they sold burgers, shakes, and fries as well. And so the Florida restaurant began to grow very fast and very rapidly. And there was supposed to be an agreement that they will never come into the state of Illinois. Well, we know money talk and bullcrap walk, and they came in the state of Illinois. Well, the state of Illinois restaurant filed a declaratory judgment under federal law to kick them out of the state of Illinois. And the court asked them, in the state of Illinois, they were the first users, right? The court asked them, well, how far does your customers come to your restaurant? And this is a restaurant, it's like in Mattoon, Illinois, which is like maybe like 200 miles south of Chicago, but it's right off a major highway in Illinois. And they said, well, they come from about a 20-mile radius. And so the court said, okay, well, this company cannot come within a 20-mile radius of your restaurant. But now you can't go outside a 20-mile radius of your restaurant because they have the federal registration. And unfortunately, federal trumps state. So ask, do you know?
So like, they boxed them in.
They boxed them in. But what's the name of that company? Can you guys imagine? Like, what was the name of that restaurant?
McDonald's.
That's my first thought.
Not McDonald's. What's the other one?
Burger King?
Burger King.
Is Burger King
that it is? Burger King. So if you Google right now, the original Burger King, it's still going to come up today. And it's 2024. And that restaurant in Mattoon, Illinois is still open as the original Burger King.
Oh, so explain the story again. There was another Burger King before Burger King?
Exactly. In Illinois. So the big corporation Burger King, it originated out of Florida. Out of the state of Florida. But the state of Illinois Burger King, they were the first users, but they didn't have federal registration. Mm. So that's why it's so important that we...
So are they still there?
They're still there to this day.
It's one store.
It's just one store because they can never grow outside of that 20-mile radius.
But they could put like four stores inside the 20-mile, but that don't even make any sense.
That wouldn't even
make sense. So there's one Burger King that is not Burger King. It's a restaurant or a fast food?
It's a restaurant, and they sell burger, shakes, and fries. And it's called the original Burger King. So if you ever Google Burger King Mattoon, Illinois, it will come up.
So that's an incredible story. But it makes more sense to file federally, or is it?
Yes.
I'm thinking it's more expensive as well.
Well, it is, but sometimes the state registration is not as effective and impactful as you need it to be, especially in a day and age where the internet is here, right? Mm-hmm. And see, another thing why that story is so important is because trademarks are legacy builders, right? A trademark can outlive you. Coca-Cola have been registered since 1893, Mercedes since 1903, right? And so a trademark can, like, so the original people who created that Burger King, that was a family-owned business. So imagine what they could have did and expanded with their company, but they are now attached to this judgment out of federal court since the 1960s. So it limited their legacy. So I always tell people, you want to secure your brand not only to secure your bag, but you want to secure your brand so you can secure your legacy.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.